You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
You know, some of the greatest battles that we will fight in life are not the battles on the outside, but battles on the inside. Am I talking to the right people here today? Things that nobody knows about, but conversations that you're having with yourself. When you become born again, your heart becomes the communication point. And this is where God will communicate with you in your heart, in your spirit. But guess what? It's not only God that communicates here in our heart, it's also the devil. The devil wants to plant negative seeds, negative thoughts, amen? So I want to talk this morning about thoughts. Our thoughts. Turn to the person next to you, say, think good thoughts. I think oftentimes even as believers, one of the greatest challenges, you ask yourself, who's speaking to me? Am I thinking this myself? Is this God? Is this the devil? Don't raise your hand, just double blink at me if I'm talking to the right people here. So I want to talk to you today about taking your thoughts in the right direction. Taking your thoughts in the right direction, because sometimes our thoughts go in the wrong direction. Sometimes we start thinking about negative things, and it just gets more negative and more negative, and a lot of times those negative things doesn't even happen. So, I'm going to take it a bit slow. I want to lay a foundation to explain certain things so that you can understand why is it so important that the Bible talks about the heart. The Bible talks about our thoughts, because this heart is a well, is a spring here on the inside. Amen? What we believe, our actions, how we communicate, how we believe, everything comes out of our heart. So what you allow in your heart through your mind will affect your actions and your speech. A matter of fact, what happens in your mind will happen in time. Turn to the person next to you and say, what happens in your mind will happen in time. So, oh my word, Pastor, you've got no idea what's going on in my mind. You're telling me all of that's going to happen? No, we're going to help you. Amen? So it is crucial that you guard your heart and that you manage your mind effectively. You have to guard your heart and you have to manage your mind. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do, your behavior, your action, your speech, it comes from your heart. The New King James says, for your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. Oh, sorry, that's the Passion Translation. Your heart. Look here what it says. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So he says, guard your heart above all. Amen. Matthew says that the thing that you treasure most, there your heart will be. So the thing that you place the most value upon, guess what? Your heart's going in that direction. Aina. Amen. A quick and easy test is, what are you thinking about the most? But then there's this one scripture in Proverbs 23 verse 7. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Spirit part is that heart part. Your soul part is your will, your intellect, and your emotions. The Bible says they are very closely linked, because as you think in your heart, when you think things and you start to believe it, you'll be it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So this verse, it highlights for us the connection between our thoughts and our reality. How many times have you walked into a place and just looked at somebody? Your heart says, they don't like me. But you've not spoken one word to them. Just raise your hand if I'm talking to the right people here. You have to manage your mind. Because what you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, believing it in your mind, that will be. Because we believe with our hearts, it's so important to manage your thoughts. Turn to the person next to you and say, think good thoughts. So if you don't manage your mind, what happens in your mind will happen in time. And the Bible has given us weapons. I'm not going to talk about the weapons, but we can take thoughts captive. Arguments captive. Vain imaginations captive. And we can bring it in line with the mind and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you entertain negative thoughts, impure and ungodly thoughts, they will eventually bear fruit in your life. So if you're looking at the wrong stuff, negative stuff, affecting your mind, it will start to affect your heart. And if you focus on that too much and you treasure that more than anything else, your heart will start to move in that direction. And although you don't want to do certain things because you are treasuring certain things, your heart will pull you in that direction. It's not where my heart is, my treasure will be. It's where your treasure is, your heart will be. So Job, the book of Job, I love the book of Job. Can I have one amen? Anybody loves the book of Job? Job went through some difficult challenges in his life. But the wonderful thing about Job, you know what the Bible says about Job? Job and everything that he went through, he never sinned once with his mouth. Wow. Not once did he sin with his mouth. Not once did he accuse God with his mouth. Not once did he murmur and complain through that whole season. So I want to know, how did Job do it? How did he get it right? So that we can get it right. Amen? I mean, we go through half a challenge or something looks like a challenge and we start murmuring and complaining. Job 22 verse 21 says, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Verse 22, receive please instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Family, you have to give Jesus, the word of God, the rightful place in your heart. Because when the word of God dominates your heart, which is full of life, which is full of spirit, whatever comes your way, this will come out, because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen? So sometimes you go through things, and God will say to you, declare this in this situation. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways, but God made it very clear to make his thoughts known to us. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, you know my thoughts towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Can I have one amen? We know God's thoughts. So God's thoughts for you is peace and not evil. Even though evil might be coming against you, God's thoughts for you are not those things. He wants to give you a future and a hope. So sometimes if you want to get things fixed that are not working properly, you're going to have to put in some effort. Turn to the person next to you, say, spiritual physiotherapy. You know, I don't know if you've gone for physiotherapy when you've had a pain. It's painful. But you go because it helps you. So, sometimes when you're going through a tough time, when you're going through a difficult time, it might be painful. But this brings healing, brings life, brings strength, brings change. Because this word has got healing power. It's got sanctification power. It's got deliverance power. Let me just say this. I was sharing on Thursday night at the prayer. We were just sharing it on something different, not even what I'm talking about today. But I said, if you're battling with thoughts, if you're battling with impure thoughts, there's only one thing that deals with that quicker than anything else, and that's the Word of God. Because this word is like a hammer that destroys a rock. It's like a fire that consumes everything which is not of God. If you're battling with screen time here, the way to fix it is time in here. Put it to the test. Put it to the test. So when you start to meditate upon the Word of God, you'll start to think upon things from above. Look at what Philippians 4 verse 8 says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So you're going to have to take some time to meditate upon the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Put His Word in your heart. When there's a negative thought, take the Word of God and replace it with that. You know, the Amplified Bible in this same passage says, fix your minds on it. Turn to the person next to you and say, fix your mind on it. So what am I saying? If you're battling with negative thoughts, you're going to have to fix your mind on the Word of God. The Passion Translation says, keep your thoughts continually fixed on. You have to replace it with the Word of God. You have to replace it with the Word of God. Listen to me. If a poor man is thinking about poverty the whole time, hanging out with poor people the whole time, talking like poor people and acting like poor people, he's going to start to behave like a poor man. Because he's meditating on poverty, he's confessing poverty, he'll act poverty. The same is true of offense. If you're only hanging out with people that are offended because you are offended, and all that you are talking is about offenses, you're going to start behaving like an offended person. You're going to talk like an offended person. You're going to behave like an offended person. And you're going to view everything through offense. The same is true of sickness. If all that you are confessing is sickness, hanging out with sick people, behaving like a sick person, acting like a sick person, confessing sickness, nothing is going to change. The truth is, many people, because of the way that they think, even when they receive a blessing, will not be able to maintain that blessing because of the way that they think and they talk and they behave and they act. Because when you think something and you believe it, you'll start to say it. And when you start saying it, the next thing you start acting it. That's why what you think in your mind will happen in time. The Bible says in 3 John, the first place that you should prosper is in your thoughts. We should prosper in our spirit. That's the most important thing, the heart part, the part that's linked up with God. But John wrote in 3 John and he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So you're going to have to get rid of some stinking thinking. So it doesn't matter what challenges you are facing, what's coming against you. When your soul is prospering, positive thoughts, you can handle whatever is going on around you. But when this is not prospering, when the smallest thing comes against you, you want to collapse. For your soul, your mind to prosper, it needs the truth. You need the truth about the situation. You need heaven's opinion about the situation. I like this 3 John. When you read the second verse, it says, "For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth that is in you, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth." We walk by faith, but we walk in truth. It's a big difference between facts and truth. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Don't deny the facts." We acknowledge the facts, but we walk in the truth. Do you know what I mean when I say that? The facts might be that my ankle is broken. The truth is, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. The facts might be that I don't have money in my pocket. The truth is that God will supply all my needs. The facts might be that I'm facing a giant. But the truth is, the giant has not come against me. He's come against my God. It's not personal. Amen? The facts might be that you find yourself in a fiery furnace. The truth is, there's a fourth person with you in that fiery furnace. So we might be facing facts. It might be that the deal didn't go through, that everything collapsed in your business. But the truth is, God is busy perfecting everything concerning you. But if your mind is not prospering, when you look at facts, it can grip your heart and pull you down completely. Facts will be around us every day. Let me tell you something. Negative thoughts comes to everybody, even to pastors. But I have to take that negative thought and replace it with the Word of God. I have to take that fact and allow the truth to overrule it. Do you treasure the truth above the facts? Because sometimes we value facts more than truth. Because if you value the truth and that is your treasure, your heart will follow in that direction. But if you value the facts, what people are saying, more than the truth, then your heart will follow that lie. Can you see the importance to manage your mind? Turn to the person next to you and say, "Manage your mind." So if you're going to become an overcomer, if you're going to live victorious, you're going to have to start to manage your mind. You're going to have to be able to look beyond the facts to the truth. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He looked beyond the suffering to you and me, the promise. When I talk about mind management, what am I talking about? I'm talking about having a positive attitude, to think in a positive way. Have you been around people like that? They'll tell you, "This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong." And somebody will just say, "Yeah, well, that's wrong, but we can do this and this. We can make it happen like this and this." Can I just say this? To be positive in every situation, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You have a friend in the Holy Spirit to help you. Job relied on God's presence, relied on God to help him. He knew that God was in control of his life. The Bible says in John 4 verse 14, "But if anyone drinks the living water I give him, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit springing up and flooding you with endless life." Can I just say, when you're going through a tough situation, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me and empower me. Lord, let the rivers of living water that you've placed on the inside, let it gush forth and bring life in this situation." when there's a dry situation around you, let the water that Christ has placed on the inside, let it start to flow and water the situation around you. Amen. When these negative things press against you, replace it with the Word of God. Replace it with the Word of God. So I've told you now what to do. I've told you how to do it. But even with all the knowledge that we've got, we sometimes all miss it. Turn to the person next to you and say, everybody makes mistakes. Can I just say this? You need the Holy Spirit to give you a prophetic picture of your good future. That's what allowed Joseph to go on. He had a prophetic picture of his good future. That even in the pit, he could say, I know where I belong. In the prison, he could say, I know where I belong. When he was in prison, he didn't start behaving like a prisoner and a criminal because he knew he belonged in the palace. He behaved like somebody that belonged in a palace, and that's why they gave him more responsibility in there. And Joseph is one of those that made it, and Daniel are those that made it. But there are some men of God that missed it when they took their focus off God. Peter, when his eyes was on Jesus, he's walking on water. When he took his eyes off Jesus, looked at the facts and not to the truth, what happened? He started sinking. Sometimes you call down fire from heaven like Elisha, and the next day you want to run away. A David that kills a giant. You've not come against me, you've come against my God. And the next minute you read, oh my soul, why are you so bent down? Am I talking to the right people here? So let's look at a part in the Bible that really just encouraged me. Turn to the person next to you. Say, I've got good news for you. Say, God loves you just as much as any of his apostles. Why is that important? Because some of us sometimes read the Bible and we think, yeah, God will do it for this person, but he won't do it for me. Because he loved Peter more. Do you know how much Peter messed up? You know how many times Peter missed it? But the difference is every time Peter missed it, at least he went back to God. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings 19, verse 1. Chapter 18 is one of my favorite chapters to preach on, is when Elisha called down fire from heaven. I mean, what a great moment. Calls fire down from heaven. A whole nation turns their heart back to God. And here it's the next day. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elisha had done. Also, he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, turn to the person, don't look at the facts. Focus on the truth. He arose and ran for his life. Have you ever been in a situation where you just wanted to run for your life? I mean, when you actually read this, he's just in the strength of God killed 400 Baal prophets. See, fire come down from heaven. I mean, a great miracle. A whole nation turns back to God. And the next day, the man of God's running away. Now, do you think God would bring him this far and leave him now there? And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life. For I'm no better than my fathers. Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him. I just want to say to you, if you've ever prayed the prayer, Lord, I want to die, just take my life. It seems like that's code in heaven to send an angel to you. Amen. So some of you that has been at a place where you felt, I just want to die, God, take my life. It seems like that's code for an angel that's on its way to come and touch you. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is aware of your situation. And suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time. Turn to the person next to you and say, get ready for a second touch from heaven. So when you're feeling down, heaven is ready to touch you. Heaven is ready to back you. Amen. So God is not going to look at the facts. He's going to look at the truth and what he has planned for you. And then he said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Guess what? When you feel like you want to die, God's going to give you an assignment that's bigger than yourself. What is that? That's God's way. Because he's busy perfecting everything concerning you. Because the vision needs the help of the Holy Spirit. Because if you can do it in your own strength, you will boast. But when you need God's strength, you'll glory in him. Amen. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Turn to the person next to you and say, pity party. Turn to the person on the other side, say, pity party. Family, listen to me. Just because you are positive the one day doesn't mean you're going to be positive the next day. You're going to have to work on it every single day. His mercies are new every day. Amen. Elijah had boldness the one day to call fire down from heaven, and the next day he's running. What happened? He took his eyes off what God told him to do, and he started looking at the facts. When you start to treasure the facts more than the truth, you'll probably find yourself running. His focus had gone from God to man. A matter of fact, from God to a woman. And that woman said, I'm going to kill you. Can I say, when you are down and out, get back into the rest of God. When you are down and out, get back into the rest of God and hear what God is saying to you. A matter of fact, when he had his pity party there, God said to him, listen, you're not on your own. I've preserved 7,000 like you. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're not on your own. So when he was on his own, God, number one, came and touched him, and God then strengthened him. And God then empowered him for a journey that was greater than him. So I want to say, many of you that are having a pity party, God is just busy setting you up for something greater than yourself. Trying to fulfill God's assignment in your own strength is impossible. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You have to rely on his ability to become your ability. When you focus on the facts and what people are saying, it's very easy to fall into a pity party. Can I say this? Like with Job, where he never complained, let people see Jesus in us in our every situation. I'm going to close with this. The book of Galatians says, do you know how I feel right now and will feel until Christ's life becomes visible in your life, like a mother in the pain of childbirth? The one translation says that Christ might be formed on the inside of you. Whatever you are going through is just what God is using for Christ to be formed on the inside of you. Say amen or say ana. Let me just see, who loves pity parties? Me, myself, and I feel so sorry for myself. I'm going to open a can of worms. And then we're just going to eat those worms. Amen. Hmm? You have to manage your mind to keep your thoughts positive. Amen? When I look at that verse, you almost think, how can a prophet fall into a pity party and then ask God to kill him when God has got a plan for him, an assignment for him? When God is the one who says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And now you come and you say, God, just take my life. We all go through it. That's why we have to manage our thoughts, to see what we treasure. Amen? So let me wrap it up quickly. Number one, the Bible says, fix your thoughts upon heaven. Fix your thoughts upon heaven. Be careful what you think, because what you think in your mind will happen in time. Especially if you allow those things to settle in your heart and you believe it. Because as a man thinks in his heart, as a woman thinks in his heart, so is he. You can be the most beautiful person in the world, but if that person in their heart does not believe that they're beautiful, they'll not behave and act like somebody that's beautiful. So the key is, give Jesus the rightful place in your heart. If you want your thoughts to get better, give Jesus the rightful place in your heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, we can all miss it. We can all have a negative day. But if you have a negative day, replace it with something positive. Can I say this? If you are battling with thoughts, have some friends around you that can encourage you with positive words. If you feel like you're going under, go find a scripture that will tell you, I'm going over. When the devil says you're going under, declare the word, say, I'm not going under. The Bible says, I'm going over. If you feel like the tail, say, I'm not the tail, I'm the head. Amen? And replace it with something positive. When you have a dream from God, a vision from God, like Joseph, that prophetic picture, it will impart strength unto you to endure your present situation and to move forward into your future. When you have a prophetic picture, you can look beyond the pit to the palace. When you have a prophetic picture of where God is taking you, you can look beyond the prison to the palace. And when you're in the pit, you can say, I know where I belong. I belong in the palace. When you find yourself in a prison, you can say, I know where I belong. I belong in the palace. Amen? When it's raining and it's hailing, you know it's only for a season. It will not endure forever. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can I just say this? Troubles are easier to face when you know they'll come to an end. Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. Turn to the person next to you and say, the difficult situation you are facing, it's got a beginning, it's got an end. Let me leave you with last two thoughts. Your future must first move into you before you can move into your future. Your future, the prophetic picture, must first move into you before you can move into your future. Yes, give the Lord a hand. This is the Jesus way, from the inside out. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he wanted to get into the water so that he could get healed. And he didn't realize Jesus, the living water, was there, wanted to get into him to heal him. Because he was looking only at one thing as being a solution. So allow your future, the good things that God has got for you, let that picture be printed in your heart. When that is here and established, we believe, therefore we confess, therefore we speak. When that is settled here, when you know thoughts that I have towards you, is thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Even when evil comes, even when things come to steal your peace, it cannot, because it's been settled here. You're focusing on the end result. Amen? Let your thoughts line up with the Word of God. And if your thoughts are not lining up with the Word of God, get some scriptures, get some word, and confess it and declare it until it is established in your heart. Say it until you believe it, until it becomes revelation. Because when it comes revelation, nobody and nothing can take it away from you. Then, like a Job, even when you go through a tough time, you will not confess anything negative. You will not sin against God with your mouth. And even if you've made a mistake, you can run to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me, Holy Spirit, so that I can do it the right way now. Allow the Word of God to become the standard for your life. Give Jesus the rightful place. Manage your thoughts. Protect your heart. And you'll see this heart will move in the right direction where you want to go. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.